Why call me squeaky chair?
I heard squeaking.
Yeah, there's a lot of squeaking going on over here.
Yeah. The house is a rocking. Don't come a knocking. That sounded like a fart. Right.
Perhaps I need to buy some WD-40.
Yeah.
Or just lose some weight.
or throw some yolk on there or something. Next time you spill it on your computer, just
rub it on my joints.
Rub it on your joints. So how are you doing?
I'll try not to lean back. Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Welcome to Geek Brunch.
Yes. Well, I don't know what episode we're on, though.
We are on episode 182.
182.
I have no idea. 188.
88. So I guess Mike is celebrating Mother's Day. You haven't heard from him?
No, I have not.
I texted him, but and he's got a fancy phone, so.
So he could find us if he wanted to.
Yes, he can.
I believe that's being called being blown off. These kids today, man.
Yeah, they're too young. They don't know about like letting their elders know when they're not going to be around.
That's right. Kids today, they have no responsibility. 159. Welcome to Geek Brunch 159.
Wow, you had really given us a lot of credit. 182.
I blew us a couple years into the future there.
Damn. Post-apocalyptic Geek Brunch.
I just transposed the. I remembered 158 as 185. Ah. Dyslexic in my old age. But yes, these kids today and their irresponsibility.
Yeah.
Can't even let people know what they're up to.
He's so irresponsible. He's loving his mother right now.
On Mother's Day. I know. Ridiculous.
Instead of recording a podcast. Come on, man.
I know. He has more important things to do on Mother's Day than record a podcast.
Or are you doing anything for Mother's Day, or is it just that your kids are doing it because your mom isn't where you live, is she?
No, my mom's – no, she's in Florida, but she's actually on a cruise right now, so.
Ah, she cruises a lot.
She does cruise a lot. Well, she did the – thing where she's done working, so it's time to party.
That's right. I hope I can get to that like age when it's time to party but be healthy still. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to leave work and then be in bed all the time.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, be stuck at home because you're able to get out the door.
I want to celebrate.
Yeah. That's what my mom does. Although she's partially in a wheelchair. So she has bed. She either had polio or I think she had polio when she was a kid, but it wasn't like, cause it was like right at the tail end of the polio epidemic.
Yeah.
So I think she got it, but it only affected her leg muscles, but just a little bit. She got really, really, she was really lucky.
So she's able to walk, but for like long durations, she needs to be in a chair. Or
right, yeah. So she doesn't have a lot of what's it called endurance.
But she doesn't let that stop her, right? I mean, she's on the cruises all the time.
Yep, and a cruise ship, it's actually good in a wheelchair because then you get to cut in the front of line and you don't have to wait. So when we went on our family cruise. When you get to like the ports, I'm an expert because I was on this one cruise, but when you get to the ports, there's like people are, everyone on the boat basically needs to get off, right? Because they want to go on shore to see whatever they want to go see.
Right.
There's like a huge line of people like waiting to get off that goes up the stairs and up different decks and stuff. So you got to wait forever to get off. Not if you're in a wheelchair.
Don't have to wait.
Zip to the front of line. I'm with her. So yes, the tremendous benefits of being unable to walk.
Yeah.
The few benefits, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I think I'd rather wait in line though.
Than being in a wheelchair.
Overall, yeah, than being in a wheelchair.
Yeah. I remember when I was young, we went to Disney World. And a few weeks before the trip, my mother was in a car accident. My sister was in the car, and my sister ended up breaking her leg. So it sucked for her at Disney World, but it was awesome for us because we got to go up to the front of the we got to go in like a special section for the parade, like the Festival of Lights parade or whatever they have.
Right.
And on the ride, we got to go like right up to the
front.
I don't remember if we got to get up to the front or if it was just her.
I think it's you and a passenger, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think if you have like a party of 16 or whatever, you're like, oh, the whole family's coming up.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot, but we were young, so they might have. I mean, they weren't going to.
Oh, yeah, they'll let the young kids.
Make the young kids go get in line while mom and the broken leg girl get on the ride. But that was a while ago.
Do you have any more cruises this year, or are you done?
No cruises.
Any more big family vacations?
No, we usually don't do. That was just like a once in a lifetime type thing. That was my mother. Since she goes on so many cruises, it's always been her dream to have her whole family go on a cruise. So.
Ah.
No cruises. We are going to. My wife and I are going to Cancun, to a resort in Cancun.
Nice. What month?
June.
Ah, cool. Well, isn't Heroes around June?
Yes. We're also going to Heroes in June.
Are you booked?
Planes are booked.
Ah.
Booked the hotel. Oh, and the only reason we're going to Cancun is my cousin is getting married, so. And he chose to get married in Cancun.
Nice. It's a good little vacation.
Yep, so we'll get away for a few days anyway.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and then go away for a few more days.
I finished listening to Geek Brunch. I was like, God dang, Daryl was being hateful. He wanted to burn a Tom Scioli sketch.
Oh, he's being hateful towards you.
Yeah. What an asshole. That guy, he just.
If he's going to buy a sketch just so he can burn it.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what prompted that.
Oh, you were talking about American Barbarian.
Yeah, but why would that turn into hate towards you?
Oh, I don't know. He's a pretty hateful guy on the text messages.
That's true.
You start texting him and you just get like hateful traffic.
He does have a dark heart.
Yeah.
Blackened.
Whereas I'm all loving and everything. And
yes, despite what he may say.
Despite, yeah, that's right. So I guess Micah's having a good time, this family, so we're going to drive this bus into the wall or something. I didn't get to talk about any comics last night, so I have a lot to talk about. Well, it's weird because I like try to find out like what they're going to read like so I don't get spoiled, you know?
Right.
And we're all on different shipping DCBS schedules, so it kind of complicates the matter even worse because Daryl's on weekly, right? So he gets his shipment on Friday. So like if things are released on Tuesday or Wednesday, he gets his box on Friday. Mm-hmm. I won't get mine until the following Monday, and I'm on alternate shipping.
Right.
And then Keith is on alternate shipping, and then when you have 2 weeks, there's the 5 week months, and they really.
Yeah, but he gets his like on Friday, right? And you get yours.
Yeah, he gets his on Friday too. But this last time was just an utter mess. I mean, for one thing, I decided, because they were ahead of me all the time, well, typically, that I would switch to weekly shipping. So I like emailed, DCBS. I said, could you please switch this to weekly shipping? And they said, yeah, we'll change it. Well, they changed 2 of the 3 months. And then they took 1 of the months and they made it monthly. So I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, where's my box? Where's my box? And I was like in a panic state, right? And then I'm like, I go log on and I'm like, what? They only charged me this for shipping? What's going on here? So yeah, I got that straightened out. But
why did they change it to monthly?
I missed my free comic book day.
Shipment.
Yeah, and I missed a lot of the other books, but I did pick up some at the shop, which I normally do anyway. Mm-hmm. So I have some new stuff to talk about. How about you? Did you get free comic book day?
No. Well, I haven't got my DCBS, and this year I did not make it to a store. Because. Well, I was going to go with my kids, but then at the last minute they decided that they'd rather play than go to the comic book store.
What's wrong with them?
I don't know. I'm a horrible parent, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I know. Can you believe it? They didn't want to. I even told them, I'll buy you something. No, we don't want to go. You little rat. And my daughter reads comics, too, so I don't know
what the deal is. She sounds like she's enjoying them. She's going to be a one-issue person, isn't she? She's going to give me the next issue of this and then stop and then get the next first issue.
Yeah, I think she likes the trades.
Oh, because of the quantity, it's more?
I don't know. I'm not sure why. I haven't grilled her on it. And I don't know if that... it might just be... I typically give her trades just because...
Just single issues or...
Because they're stronger, yeah. Single issues will get beat up to hell. Like the free comic book days ones, they usually get by a couple weeks in, they're like the covers ripped off and they look like comics from the 40s when people used to trash their comics.
Yeah. Some catfish.
Kids,
on there
kids they don't that. Understand.
Yeah.
You don't understand, these comics will be worth dollars in the future.
10 cents.
Bend that cover, that's going to be worth...
Hey, they might be collector's items when the paper goes away, right? I mean, they're going to say, what was paper?
That's right. What are these things? I don't understand.
So,
still waiting for my free comic book day stuff.
Yeah, I only went to free comic book day, well, for 2 reasons. I went because I heard that the DC offering, the new 52 one, had some new material in it, and I originally thought it was just a preview. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, why do I want a preview if I'm going to
read it anyway?
Read all those books anyway, because I get all the DC books. There's not anyone that I miss. So I was like, I ain't gonna sign up for that one on DCBS. And then I found out there was new content, and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta get down. And then my shop. Which I think is fair in all reality, because they're paying for the books and they're trying to drive a lot of people in, right? They limit it to 2, and they're paying for a lot of the
really,
ships.
Really, 2?
Yeah.
I know one of mine, I think, limits it to 5.
That's a lot.
And then the other
if I could have got 5, then I would have had everything that I wanted, because I would have had the 5 from DCBS, right? And then the 5 from...
Yeah, so the store.
From the store. So, yeah, I got my 2 books. I got that DC book, which I thought was really, really good, because it focuses on the aspect of the being in a different world or a New 52 with the Phantom Stranger and, you know, Pandora and another character, which looks like the Question, but I don't know who it is. And, you know, how it seems like they're building a link to get back. It really does.
Yeah.
But it was really interesting, and I enjoyed it.
Probably want to keep that option open.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they keep like mentioning Pandora, and this gives a lot of backstory to her. So it was worth the trip on that book. And then I got Hypernaturals, which was the Boom Offering from Abnett and Lanning.
Okay.
And there wasn't a lot of content there, but what was there was really good. So now,
is the material in the Free Comic Book Day book going to be different than the material in the first issue, or was it like a preview?
Yeah, I think it's like a prequel into the first issue, which is why there wasn't a lot there. It was kind of like there's a super team, right? And this takes place in the far future, and they, you know, protect the Earth or whatever. And they send the team out into space or whatever to do the protection, and they lose communication with them, and they're like, oh shit. So then they like bring back all the old group out of retirement, you know, all the heroes that were there before, and they have to go in there and find out what's going on. So, you know, that's the general premise, but, you know, Abnett and Lanning tell a good story, even though there wasn't a lot there, it still was really good. And I'm glad that I picked up issue one to check it out. So,
yeah, I'm gonna get issue one.
So that was those two were really good, and then I Ryan from Star Joes is gonna email me Transformers, because I want to try the Transformers because I got so hooked into the G.I. Joe, you know. So I'm kind of curious to see. I don't think I'll like it as much because I dipped my.
I thought you said you hated all the Transformers you've ever read.
Yeah, everything I've read to date. But this one's a little bit different, and it's going to be retro because it's going to be like a real American hero where it takes off.
So it's a new title?
Yeah, but it takes off with the new, like if Marvel's run ever stopped, kind of like G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Okay.
So it like continues from the Marvel run. So I thought that'd be interesting. I want to check that out. And then I went to the comic shop this last Wednesday. And
has that been solicited? When does that come out?
Yeah, it's been solicited. It's like Transformers Retroactive or something like that. So that should be pretty cool. But I did check out some of the new DC 52 books, the six that we're replacing. I checked out four of them. And G.I. Combat was really, really good. That was like it had two stories in it. War of the Time Forgot by J.T. Krull and Oliveri. He's like a painted art style.
Right.
Oh, he drew some damn good art in this. It's just gorgeous to look at. And it's dinosaurs and military in the present day, though. You know, with our current technology, it's not like the old War of the Time that Forgot that took place in the past. It's like in current time. And then we have The Unknown Soldier, which is also kind of current time. And it's different from the 70s Unknown Soldier and then the Vertigo Unknown Soldier, which I've loved both of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new take in modern time on The Unknown Soldier. And he kind of has like a Punisher background. And in fact, he like loses his family. So because he loses his family, he's like, fuck. What am I going to do with the rest of my life, right? So he says, I don't care about things as much as I used to because I've lost everything that meant anything to me. So he goes to Afghanistan, and things go downhill from there. But it was a good book. That's by Palmiotti and Gray. And, man, I can't remember who the artist is on that. But that was good.
Yeah, I was gonna get that one, but I ended up not getting it. I think I was gonna wait to see how it was, and then maybe get the trade.
Well, that's a big improvement from where their war books were. At least I think, like with Men of War, Although Men of War was awesome. Men of War number 8, the final issue. It's almost like it was a fill-in issue, right? Because they were like, this is the final issue of the 52 issue, and mm-hmm. we don't give a shit about where we're going with Sergeant Rock anymore. So let's throw in Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent, right? And they tell a story of the past about Frankenstein and G.I. Robot, and it was awesome.
Right.
It was the best. It was the last issue, and it was the best issue. So,
who's doing that book before or regularly?
Good Lord, I don't remember. I'll have to look it up. I usually have my database up, but I'll bring it up now. I'll hear like this, whoa, because he has like this music thing come on. Do you hear that when it comes through or no?
Yeah, I heard something.
Yeah, but that was a cool. And then Earth 2 was amazing. Did you order that one?
No.
It was way better than I thought it would be. Way better. Because it's like an alternate Earth for mm-hmm. Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. And they start right. off with a fucking bang. I mean, it's like you're on this Earth and there's Darkseid attacking the Earth. So it's like post-apocalyptic. They're like destroying. These parademons are destroying all kinds of shit. Well, they kill Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman. So you're left with Power, you know, what was Supergirl and Robin at the time? And, you know, Robin's like devastated. She's like trying to tell Batman, you don't have to sacrifice yourself. Let's get out of here. And they end up sacrificing themselves. And they get blasted like by a boom tube or something and end up on a different Earth. And that's when they become Huntress and Power Girl. So that leads into the World's Finest comic, which ties very highly into that book. That was really good. The art's really good in there because it's George Perez and Kevin Maguire.
Okay.
So that was a lot of fun. And then Dial H. I don't know if you checked that one out.
I think I'd have to look. I thought I pre-ordered that one. Yeah, I did. When did that come out? Was that
China
real recent?
Melville. Yeah, that just came out. Like
okay, yeah, I should be getting that one at the end of the month then.
Dial H. That was the very interesting take, very depressing. We'll see what you think. I liked it a lot.
I like depressing stuff.
I know you do. The world's ending. Oh yeah, I'm all over that.
Yeah, Dial H. Yeah, I ordered that one. Yeah, G.I. Combat. I didn't. What was the other one?
Earth 2.
Must not have been...
Earth 2 and World's Finest. I'm surprised you didn't, because DCBS had that special, like 50% off if you buy all four. So, it was a really good deal.
Oh, yeah. All six number ones. Apparently, I didn't want all six.
You didn't want to waste your time.
I'm going to pull a Keith and just...
Oh, just like the Vertigo shit?
Yeah, I'm going to get a couple of them, and then I'll buy the rest on the shelf and end up spending more than...
That drove me crazy. He bought two and spent $6 at the shop, right? When he could have bought all four and spent at the price of one. I'm like, why wouldn't you do that? But that's okay.
He didn't want them.
Yeah, yesterday he said he was sitting on his stomach. I'm like, how do you sit on your stomach?
Oh, he's sitting on his stomach?
Yeah. Like, his chair's hurting him. He's going to buy a new chair today, but we were going to do a Kickstarter for him to see if we could get, you know, listeners to get him a chair because his ass hangs out the back end and he hurts himself.
I saw that. His chair's almost vertical.
Yeah. It's a fucking ridiculous chair. It looks
horizontal,
like...
not vertical. Horizontal.
It looks like the most... uncomfortable chair I've ever seen in my life. So hopefully he'll get a new chair. Did you see Avengers yet?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Opening day.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was okay.
Really?
No. Just kidding. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great.
They did a really good job. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, and they gave a lot of screen time to each character, too. I think, like, equal screen time for the most part.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know if Hawkeye got as much.
Well, he did at the beginning because he was kidnapped at the beginning and became Bad Hawkeye.
Oh, that's true.
Threw the shit out of the helicarrier with the arrow into it.
Yeah, but you're not getting to know his personality then. You're just getting to know him as a drone.
Yeah, that's true.
He had screen time, but not personal.
Well, you got the back history of his relationship with Black Widow.
Yeah.
And how he kind of saved her, I guess, or brought her into S.H.I.E.L.D. Scarlett Johansson's awesome, though. I love that interrogation scene where she just, like, she's getting beat up and shit, and she's like, "You're interrupting my interrogation."
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. Then she, like, flips over in the chair.
Yeah. And then the OMAC scenes, the Hulk scenes were awesome.
The OMAC scenes. The OMAC scenes were pretty good.
They were all awesome.
Yeah, he definitely stole the show.
Yeah. Every scene with him was just like a phenomenal, you know, even his one-liners and stuff.
Well, it was good too, because like they built up to it. You know, you're waiting. They keep teasing it.
Yeah,
you know it's coming. And then I don't even know when he first showed up. That was past halfway point, probably, when he first unleashed the Hulk.
Yeah, I like the fact that he scared Black Widow too. That was like, if you had a monster that was big coming after you, you'd be frightened.
Yeah. The only thing I didn't get is he seemed to turn good, like change from a wild beast to
some kind of semblant,
an intelligent beast, like seconds later.
where he could be commanded, like Captain America says, "Hulk, smash." And then he goes, "Okay." I love what he did to Loki, though. That was awesome.
Oh, that was so funny.
I'm a god.
all the kids in the theater were dying laughing at that part.
He just tossed him like a fly, man. That was good shit.
Yeah, we could say spoilers, but pretty much anyone who's listening to this has already seen it.
Yeah.
So.
Old news.
There's not anyone who... How much has it made? Like $14 billion or something?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's good. They're just in a wicked conundrum now because they have Thor 2 in the hopper, Iron Man 3 in the hopper, and Captain America 2 in the hopper. And now you have to make Avengers 2, and you have to coordinate all of those actor schedules, right? If you want to keep the team together. So
Yeah.
And then that's on top of other movies that they make. They don't just make superhero stuff. So
the actors, I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be a rough situation to be in. I guess this is the first time we've had like a real team movie, so.
Yeah, but I mean, the money they've made off of it, I mean, those actors, you know, it's going to be hard to turn down. Because you're not going to take another role if you know Avengers is coming up, because you know you're going to make like
a gazillion.
Godly amount of money.
Probably merchandise for your image and stuff, you know? They put your image on the damn t-shirts and toys.
Yeah. Plus, in Avengers, your actual work time is probably less than a lot of movies because you're only in... I mean, you got to share your time with five other actors, big-name actors, so...
Right.
But, it's probably just a timing thing. But my schedule would clear pretty quick if...
I can't manage these elevators this week.
That's right. I'm getting $50 million to be in this movie.
Yeah. Elevator safety goes to shit for months.
people can die.
The devil will show back up. Damn elevator. So, just a couple more. I read a ton of DC, but let's see what I didn't read that was DC. I read Danger Girl number 4. That wrapped up. Have you ever read Danger Girl?
No, I've never seen it.
It's a lot of fun, man. It's like a high-speed action. it really is like something that could adapt to a movie, because it's like reading a screenplay kind of thing. It's pretty fun. And then what did I read? I read X-Men Legacy, which was tied into the Avengers versus X-Men.
Okay.
And that was pretty cool because the Avengers got some smackdown. It focused on Falcon, She-Hulk, and Moon Knight. They get told by the Avengers to go like babysit the school or like make sure they don't do anything because they're in a war right now for Hope and the Phoenix Force.
Uh-huh.
And that turns into a disaster. So it looks like the Avengers get their ass kicked, but Iron Man shows up at the end. So X-Men Legacy was pretty good. I finished Alpha Flight number 8, and this was Van Lente and Pax. This was supposed to be an ongoing, and then they said, no, we're not making it an ongoing, and it was really good.
Were they doing the whole, did they do it from number 1?
Yeah, and Eagle Shim was the artist, and his art just, it kicks ass in this. Like, I personally think that his art looked better here, and he is a really good artist, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Better here than it's ever looked.
Well,
I don't know if it's just because I like him drawing the Alpha Flight team, but it was really cool. Let's see, what else do I got? Hulk Smash, that was kind of interesting. It was like a... this one I only bought because Del Falco and Friends and Buscema did it. So it had like a retro look to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Spider-Girl and that kind of stuff in the 90s, You'll love the art style in here because, you know, Friends has a retro feel to it, though. It feels like 70s or 80s. And when Buscema inks him, it's just amazing. Like, they worked together also on G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero 177, and the art was really awesome. I read Exo Man of War number 1, and that was off to a good start. I don't know if you've gotten your copy.
No, I haven't got it yet. I've read the preview. A preview of it, but I haven't
got the... Is the preview just reprinting stuff, or is it...
No, it was an actual preview of number 1. Let me see how many pages it is. It was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The first 6 pages.
What does it show?
It shows the first fight at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And then him getting taken off in the ship.
Oh, okay. So it has like the first 8 pages or 6
pages. Yeah, like the opening scene, basically.
It was good. It was off to a good start. It's got like the Valiant flair to it, I guess. The one I was actually more impressed with, the Harbinger backup. They had a preview of Harbinger. Okay. And I think that's Laugham. And that was amazing in the back. That was like 6 pages. That was good.
Now that's Dysart.
Oh, is it Dysart? Yeah. Oh, Corn Boy. Knew it was somebody that I loved. Unknown Soldier and Corn Boy.
Yeah, and that's Kari Evans art.
Yeah.
Who did what the hell was that called? No, like Carbon Gray. Among other things.
I didn't read Carbon Gray. I almost got the trade, but I decided I had too much other stuff to read.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited. Yeah, Harbinger was good. I can't wait for all of these.
The Shadow I read, that was interesting. That was Garth Ennis and Aaron Campbell.
Yeah, I have that. I haven't read it yet.
A very wordy scene. I don't exactly know what they were trying to set up. But there's like a scene in there that lasts like 6 pages. And I really don't know what they were getting across. But other than that, it was pretty good. I'm sure if I read it again, I'd see something. But I don't usually read things twice. And then the Free Comic Book Day, like I said, I got the Image one, and that had a lot of cool stuff. G-Man, it had a G-Man preview, which is always like in the back of Savage Dragon sometimes. And that, I like what I read of that, but I never picked that up. And then it had Guarding the Globe, which is an off-take of Invincible. And this one looks like it's going to be by Phil Hester and Todd Knock, and it looks really good. I like Todd Knock's art, so.
Yeah. Wasn't that already a series?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a monthly one. In other words, they finished the mini. I didn't read the mini, but I think I ordered the trade, and I haven't gotten it yet. I better check that.
Did that finish? Did that ever finish? Wasn't that like super delayed?
Yeah, maybe that's why I haven't gotten the trade.
I don't know if the last issue's even come out yet.
And then Revival, which I've already pre-ordered. I don't know if you pre-ordered that one that had a sneak preview of. And that one seems awesome.
Yeah.
That's by Tim Seeley and Mike Norton.
Yeah.
It's like what if something happened, some event happened that brought people that were dying or dead back to life? And this opens up like a reporter goes to visit like the crematory where they're cremating bodies, and she's like doing a story like, why are they, how do they cremate bodies once the temperature, you know, it's just kind of like a fact-finding article she's writing, and he puts one body into the crematorium thing, and it actually, the guy comes to life and he starts burning. It's like, oh fuck. And then
do they know people are coming back to life?
No, it's just like that. it's like if there's an instance event and all the way around the world you see a bunch of
people
events.
Just start popping into life. Okay.
And then It Girl and the Atomics. I never read the Atomics from Allard, I believe, but they got another series coming that looks interesting, so I might check that out. And then Near Death, which I already read, but that was the best one of the little clips. So I love Near Death. I think Near Death is one of the best Image comics.
That's the one where the dude's getting retribution or whatever.
Yeah, he used to be like, you hire him to kill people, and then he had a near death experience. So now he protects people that are being killed. In other words, on the shit list or on the hit list.
Right.
So. And the other thing I want to point out is I went on a hardcover readings binge, which I very rarely do. But I had Jonathan Hickman's Secret Warriors, which was the Nick Fury team. Oh, mm-hmm. God, was that amazing. I can see why they made it an omnibus. It is awesome. I mean, it was like such a good read, especially I think it was volume 4. Where it gave flashbacks of the Howling Commandos and stuff, and then like related it to what was happening in the current time. Oh man, it was so damn good. That was a really good read for me. I couldn't put the book down, so now I pre-ordered the 6th hardcover, and then I think that series is done. So I read like 4 hardcovers, and I loved it. And I couldn't put it down. That's usually a good sign, like. Because each hardcover has about 6 issues in it, and I read like in a couple hours the whole series.
So you're getting the hardcovers and you hadn't read any of it?
Yes. But I can do kind of that kind of thing with I tried the first one, right? And I liked it. So I just pre-ordered all the other ones. Sight unseen. Because I knew I was going to like it. Plus, it's Hickman, so there's not too much that I don't like that he's done. And I love the way he writes Nick Fury. It's just awesome. So what you got?
Let's see. I don't have a lot. I've been slacking on my reading lately. I don't know what's going on.
How could you do that?
I don't know. I've been busy. Let me grab some stuff here. Okay. I read Danger Club from Image.
Ah.
By Landry Q. Walker and Eric Jones. It's a superhero team, and I couldn't really tell at the beginning. It starts out. Did you read this?
No, I kind of regret it though, because Daryl spoke highly of it. Highly of it.
Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. Yeah. Well, on the first page it says, 3 months ago, the universe was in deadly peril. The world's greatest heroes were summoned into space to battle reality's ultimate evil. Our mentors, our guardians, our parents, our teachers. They left and they didn't come back. So on the very first page, it's kind of like a retro comic book page, like from the 60s or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of shows the main characters, and then it jumps to the present and shows them, but they appear to be like the same age. They almost look like kids, kind of. So I'm not really sure what the deal is. Like if they've been kids their whole lives, or it almost seems like they've been around for a long time, but they're still kids. So I don't know what the deal is. And one of their group that they show on the flashback old school page is now a bad guy, and he's trying to amass this army of people. And the main characters are these three kid dude superheroes, and then there's also a female that comes in later. Pretty much the whole first issue is they set up kind of the scenario, introduce these characters, and then there's like this big fight scene. But it was really well done. The art's really good, and it's pretty interesting what they set up. So I definitely enjoyed it. It was really good. And that was from Image. And you got like Image because in the fight scenes, they're extremely bloody and gory. So he punches this dude and like blood spurts out all over the place. And his teeth get knocked out.
I might check that out when it's fully done, you know.
Yeah.
And they do the first trade. Believe it or not, I read comics like they're trades with the exception of DC. Do you know what I mean? I'll sit with four or five issues and read them like a trade. I just can't psychologically. I don't know. I got problems.
I know. Why don't you just wait for the trade then?
Yeah, it's the digital thing. Like too. The digital thing is like on demand. Like I could go download it right now, but God dang it. It's like it's not the same thing. I really don't think it is. I don't know why.
It's not. It's I recently watched a TED Talk. You know the TED Talks? I can't remember what TED stands for. It's where they bring in people who are smart to talk about stuff. But anyway, they had there was one with Chip Kidd, who does like covers for books and for... He does some graphic novels, too.
Yeah, I thought you've mentioned him before.
Yeah.
Or maybe I heard it on 11 o'clock comics or something.
Could be. He did a TED Talk where he was talking about... It's really interesting. It's not very long either. It's like 15 minutes. And he was talking about how he does book design. And he talks about some of the books he did. Like he talks about Jurassic Park. That was pretty interesting, how he did the Jurassic Park cover.
Yeah.
Well, that one's interesting because he did like the dinosaur logo for the Jurassic Park book, which has become like the symbol for Jurassic Park now and was reused everywhere. It's like the logo for Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts talking about that, and he kind of evolved the talk into talking about print versus digital and how he was showing some of the books he did. He had like the physical book, and he did one where there was a cover and it was kind of translucent and you could see through underneath. But then when you took the book cover off, it was the same image, but like reversed or something. So it was like,
yeah.
He's like, you can't see it. You couldn't get that in digital. There's no way to to get that in digital. And he was just talking about like the smell of the books and the feel of the paper. And
yeah,
he loves it.
There's something different, and it maybe has something to do with my occupation because I'm in front of a computer, yeah. You know, all day, you know, for 10 to 12 hours a day. So maybe paper's refreshing to my eyes or something, you know. Right.
Yeah, you want to be away from the computer for a little bit and just not be plugged into something.
Yeah, the Matrix.
Disconnect yourself.
But I do think it's awesome, like the whole concept of it. Like, You could say, you know, Danger Club is awesome, and I could go read it right now, right after you're done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The concept of that is amazing. Like, I don't have to go, like, Danger Club, for one thing, if I wanted it, there's maybe one shop in all of Colorado Springs that carries a shelf copy. Mm-hmm. So I'd have to drive downtown and hope they have it, because usually they'll sell out Images within the first week. You know what I mean? Because they order, like, they'll order their pull box people, and then they'll order 10 copies for the shelf, and then the internet buzz hits, and then
those
10 copies are gone. I mean,
mm-hmm.
But the digital world, you could say that was awesome, and it's just...
Right, it could be the hottest thing that sold out everywhere, but you could still get it.
I could still get my hands on it. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I wish we could get to the point, or I look forward to the day when we get to like an anthology type thing where every week you get this anthology
of comics.
Yeah, or you could subscribe to like a certain anthology and you get like whatever. Every week you get a few issues, or kind of like, I guess the closest, or how they've been doing it with the anime stuff or the manga stuff, what's it called?
That big magazine.
Shōjin Jump or whatever.
Yeah.
Shōjin, yeah. Where they do that digitally too now. And I think it's like $50 a year or something, and it's like weekly. So it's basically $1 a week, and you get like... I mean, those things are like 100-something pages, so... Yeah.
Too bad the content's not to my liking.
Yeah. But if they started doing something like that... But that model's cool, because they bring it out in the anthology every week, and then... Later, they'll bring out the graphic novel versions of those stories. So it's cool, because if you're following like a story and you like it and you want the hard copy of it, you can get it later. So
yeah.
I could see moving eventually getting to that kind of model where you subscribe to, I don't know, Marvel, you know, X titles or something. And every week you get you get 10 pages of each of the X titles.
Right. That would read through, that'd be cool.
And then the stuff you like, if you prefer the hard copy, then you can get your trade or your hardcover.
Yeah. I love it, because I went on a, I don't know if you heard, but I went on a little depressed boy marathon.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I had 3 trades, volume 0, volume 1, and volume 2. I can't remember if there's a volume 3. But I read those all in one sitting too, and it was like I was so hooked, Bill. I mean, I was like, I had to figure out what happened the next issue, so I went on to Comixology and downloaded it and read it. Even though I've been reading it in trade, you know what I mean? I was like, I gotta find out what's happening here. So that book I find really interesting, because I hope it's not based on truth, though, because it's not. It's really depressing.
What do you mean, the little depressed boy character?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it is entirely. You like it more than I did. I didn't really like volume 2. I like volume 1 more than volume 2.
I like volume 2, because wasn't volume 2 where he went on that road trip?
Yeah, that was a road trip.
And got arrested, and you were going to a concert.
Yeah.
But that's also when he comes back, and well, he leaves for a reason, because the girl that he thinks he's in love with, or he thinks he's actually dating, is another relationship with the guy that he's hanging out with. That's her roommate. So
yeah, it's a situation where you're hanging out with a girl and you're friends with her, and you think it's moving to the next level, but then.
Well, there's little clues in there in volume 1 that makes you think they really are. Do you know what I mean? Like, she's grabbing his hand. She's
right. She's showing the signs.
Yeah, she's showing every sign that your common sense would say she really likes me. And I think she even kissed him once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
just mean.
Yeah, that is mean. And then not only that, but you invite him to a party, and then you have him hang out with your boyfriend, and he doesn't even know it's your boyfriend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he started liking this guy. He's like, I hate this party because it's all pretentious, right? You know, it's all people that want to watch Antichrist, right? No, I'm just kidding. That movie was pretty pretentious, dude. I thought it was amazing, but it was amazing, but there was...
Yeah, it's pretentious. He's a very pretentious director.
There was so much stuff that seemed snobbish to me. Like, I am trying to show you something because I am the greatest filmmaker ever. In the clips, yeah, I don't know. It was long. But I can't believe I made it through. There was enough there that had my curiosity.
The second half gets good, so.
Well, the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes of the movie was interesting because you're like, why was the window open? Why did the kid fall out the window? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then it went into this weird state where you're, for an hour of the film, you don't really know what's going on, but he's building things up really at a really slow pace. And then it kicks into overdrive, and that's when I started to like it. But it took like six sittings, but I didn't give up on it. Typically I'll give up on something like that. I really will.
Something there enough to bring you back.
Yeah, as soon as the penis got smashed, I was hooked.
You can't turn away after that point. You're all in at that point.
Yeah, I was all in. Matter of fact, I started watching another movie on Netflix called X, and I thought of you because there was penis like in the first 10 minutes. I was like, oh, Bill's going to like this one.
I have not heard of X.
It has the girl from Spartacus in it, it seems like it's about the sex trade in Australia. At least that's what I think it's about. Starts off really weird. That's my next DC noise pick.
You haven't finished watching it?
No, that's my next DC noise pick. We've been challenging each other to Netflix instant streaming.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun because we are so different. I mean, yes, we have a lot of the common tastes in comic books. Like, there's, you know, 80% of the stuff, and then there's the OMAC where nobody likes it except for me, and then there's things like that, but for the most part, we all like the same stuff, you know? And with the movies, man, it is just fascinating because we're so, so different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're all over the place. So, Danger Club, are you going to get the trade?
Yeah, I'll probably get the trade of that. It was interesting. I'm not sure. What has this writer done before? The name seems familiar to me, but I don't know.
What's his name again?
Landry Q. Walker.
Doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
All right, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it just sounds like a name that you've heard before.
But you know what? Image is, God dang, they're so good. I mean, the one I regret that I hear so much talk is, you even talked about it. I think Micah even read issue 2 was the Manhattan Project or whatever. It seems interesting.
Yeah, I really like that first issue of that.
That one I'm really tempted to dive into. Not that I need anything else to read.
I like all the... I always pick up the Hickman independent stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's a good writer, and I like it when he is able to... I think I only read like one thing of his that I didn't really care for that much.
So did you read anything else? Or?
Yeah. I read New Deadwardians number 2. I'm still liking that one. That was actually my favorite of the...
The four?
Of the new Vertigos, yeah.
Oh, mine's Saucer Country by a landslide. I mean, it's, for me, it's like leaps and bounds the best for my taste.
But this one has zombies.
This one is interesting. Like, it falls into my wheelhouse, but it's going at a leap. I didn't read number 2 yet. But I'm just saying what I think about it. It's going at a snail's pace, like kind of like iZombie, like from Vertigo, the other zombie title. And I don't know if it's a pace that I like.
But how can you say that when Little Depressed Boy was the slowest goddamn pace in the entire world?
Because I got sucked into that world.
My complaint with that one is, like, the whole issue, like, it's so slow.
I don't know.
I could put that in one issue, the whole
For my taste, when I think I'm delving into somebody's life, I don't know, it seems more like a documentary kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess
and I can get sucked into somebody's life that I've never experienced. Do you know what I mean? Like, cause my mind starts analyzing it, like, what is really going on with this person? And I just start thinking more. Whereas a zombie book, yeah, it's really, really good writing. And what is it, Lanning or
Abnett? Yeah.
I always get them confused because they work together all the time, typically. But I like it, but it has a lot of content to me that's an iZombie. So I don't know if you read that.
Really? Yeah, I don't really like iZombie, but I like this. How can you say they're the same? They seem they're totally different.
Well, it's the same as far as, like, you got zombies and you got vampire, different levels of dead, right?
Yeah.
True. But I'm only basing it off of one issue. I haven't experienced number two yet. So.
But this is, like, takes place in the, I don't even remember when it takes place.
The Victorian age or something like that.
Yeah, it takes place in 1910. And it's pretty much like a Sherlock Holmes book almost, where the police who happens to be a vampire is looking into the death of this other vampire, and then it's framed in this world where all the upper class people have infected themselves with the vampire curse.
Mm-hmm.
All the poor people have turned into zombies.
I liked it. It was my second favorite.
Yeah.
So it's right there as far as, like, if there were two titles that I continue with, those two are it. And I'm still curious on the Voodoo, and I'm kind of sucked into that book because of Cohen's art, because I like his art.
Yeah,
I
like
his art. I'm not an art guy. I don't know if you've heard this, but when I get sucked into a style of art that I like, I'm like sucked in. So, like, when Friends is drawing something, I'm sucked in. When it's Scioli, if it's Kirby like, I just get into that world where which is the complete opposite of what I'm used to. And Cohen's art I love. I love every line that he draws, and even though I'm not 100% behind the story yet, the art is sucking me in on that title.
Yeah.
And then Ferrest, well, Phil Jimenez is one of the most amazing artists I've ever seen. I just am not getting sucked into that story at all. Mm. And I saw Phil Jimenez at the Comic Fest, and he is amazing. I mean, this Comic-Con was one of the best cons, in the fact that it was so small that you could go up to any one of these guys and shoot the shit with for a long time. And then not only that, but if you like art and procedural, they had each one of the artists that was there had a whole hour session dedicated to, like, panel layouts and how they create comics and what to do in your portfolios and stuff.
Really?
And it was just amazing. I mean, were drawing shit, you know, like, on the sketch pad that they had up there and all kinds of stuff. And I didn't realize until day two that they were doing these artist panels, you know? And I was like, man, I really wanted to see Freddie Williams do his digital stuff, you know? Because that was another artist that blew me away. Because Captain Atom, I really like right now. Because it's got, like, the, you know, Dr. Manhattan and Watchmen feel. And the thing I like about it, it's like, what if you're God, but you don't want to be God, right? Mm-hmm. You have the powers of a God to recreate life even. What do you do with those powers? And I find that fascinating. And I love the story, and I am enjoying the art, but the colors make the art look washed, and I didn't realize how much until I saw actual pages. Like when Freddie Williams draws the page, there's so much detail in there. And then the colorist comes and colors things, and you lose all of that line work. It's amazing on the process. I never really paid attention, but man. I think you would have loved this con. I mean, it is so small, but yet so, you're so in touch with everything that's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a difference between the big and the small panels or cons, and it's just a matter of what you're looking for. I mean, they're different experiences, so you get different things out of each of them.
Yeah, and it is so weird, too, because as big as Denver is, I mean, Denver's a major city, but as big as it is, it doesn't draw a lot of comic fans for some reason.
Now, was this Comic Fest? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's really tags on to Starfest.
Right.
So if you look up Starfest, you'll see Comic Fest underneath it.
Starfest gets a lot of people, right?
Starfest is insane. Like, yeah. It's insanely popular, and that hotel is like booked. Like, you can't even move in there. Mm-hmm. And we don't pay to go to Starfest, but we walk around it because you could still walk around for free without going into the major areas like the dealer's room and stuff.
Okay.
And you can see a lot of the cosplayers.
Okay. Yeah, in the lobby
and that kind of stuff. Yeah. And you actually should see the actors signing stuff. I mean, they have like picture troopers that come and like confiscate your camera if you try to take a picture, but man, it's a fun con, and I had a blast. This is the first time I ever spent like all 3 days there, and I had a blast. And it's the first day I got there, I was like, man, this is gonna be tiny. How am I gonna, you know, what am I gonna do
for 3 days?
3 days. And I get sucked up into this, Bill. I mean, I could do it for 15 days. Do you know what I mean?
I've seen you. You walk in the door and then you go into a trance.
Yeah. It's like,
and then someone taps you on the shoulder and you're like, what? And you're like, wait, what? They're shutting down.
Yeah. It's like amazing. I just, I did something stupid though. You know how you get sometimes you talk to a creator and the fanboy in you comes out and you sound like a total dipshit. I was talking to JT Kroll. I can't believe I said this shit. But I was like, I was telling him about how I really like Captain Atom, you know, and I was explaining to him, and I'm like, yeah, you're in my top 11 books from DC New 52. And he, why would you say somebody of the top 11? Because you know they're number 11, right? Because you're in my top 11. And Barb looks at me. It's funny because Barb gets to experience this stuff and be embarrassed, you know, with me.
From a distance.
Yeah.
Top 11. And hey, where I am on the top 11 list.
I am so awful. I'm a total nerd and geek, but I went into that mode again where, you know how at the con where I get that Homer Simpson, like he's like concentrating on something, and then he sees donuts and he's like, oh, donuts. And he loses track of everything that's happening in front of him. So I was there with Barb and talking to Freddie Williams about the digital process, right? And I ran across one of his pages and totally got distracted. Like, he was talking to me and I was ignoring him. I mean, I saw that he drew this one page, and that one page meant a lot to me, you know, when I read it. Mm-hmm. And I totally went off on a fucking tangent. And Barb was like elbowing me, like, shame on you. And I'm like, I that's bad. I don't know why I do that, but I do that. It's like I'm overwhelmed with senses.
At least you're looking at his art and not like the table next to him.
Yeah.
You're like those dogs in Up.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's me at a con. That's a perfect. That is me. If you're at a con with me, I'm the dogs in Up.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. I'm gone. So what else you got?
I read Fly number 2, but I don't remember it. I enjoyed it though.
Which one?
Fly.
Oh, that is a good series.
That's a Raven Gregory one.
Yeah.
That's about people who there's a drug, right, that can make you fly.
Yeah, the interesting thing is though it's about his real life. Like not that there's a drug that you could fly, but it's about his his relationship with somebody that was on like heroin or something. You know what I mean?
It's all about addiction, right?
So he's telling a sci-fi story through something that was a personal experience. Mm-hmm. And I found that fascinating.
And I got this. I read number 1 and I enjoyed it, and then I picked this up at a con. I don't know, for cheap, just to check it out, to see if I still enjoyed it, and I did. So I'll probably grab the trade of this.
The bad thing is, after the trade, you're not going to have a lot of closure because there's going to be volume 2. So.
Bastard. No, that's good. By the time I read it, volume 2 will be out, so.
Yeah. Hey, did you ever get your short stack yet?
I did get my short stack.
Ah.
And I read the first issue, which I had already read, but I haven't gotten past that yet. Someday I'll read past. No, I've read the first couple, but I haven't finished it yet.
I'm going to give a trade away in this episode for a contest.
Ooh, contest.
Yeah. We'll get to that at the end.
Exciting. Yeah, and I liked in the trade the extra material at the end.
Oh, the process stuff.
Yeah, where he's showing like how he draws the pages.
It is so unusual.
Yeah, because his style is so fucked up.
Yeah,
it's interesting to see what he was thinking when he came up with these pages.
Well, it's almost like Picasso. I mean, I know I make that saying, but it's like Picasso art.
Yes,
it's like something that you'll. A story that's grounded, but the art is very unusual and different. But there's so much emotion in the art. So.
Yeah, it works for the story.
It works really well, yeah.
But he, his art, it's like he draws like a normal face and then he just like smudges it.
Like you draw the facial structure, and then it's almost like you take the your skin and you cut out the skin and then flip it on the other side. Right. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're looking on the inside now. You're looking on the outside of the face, but it's the inside of the face. That's the best way I could explain it. But I like it.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to finish that one. What else did I read?
Well, you read American Barbarian?
I did read American Barbarian. Did you read that yet?
I wanted to. I haven't because of DC.
I haven't read it yet.
Because of damn DC Noise. Well, if I knew DC Noise wasn't going to talk about comics.
Then you could have read it.
Well, I didn't want to get spoiled on like the Batman stuff because there's a key event going on, and then I didn't want to get spoiled on the new comic. So I was like on a DC readathon, and I actually forgot this was our week to record. I thought you guys recorded last week. So when I saw your email, I'm like, are we recording week to week now or what? And then I was like. I was like asking Barb, and Barb was like, no, that episode came out a long time ago. And I'm like, oh, shit.
It's easy to lose track of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to read American Barbarian, though. Oh, man.
I'm going to love it. I have read it indirectly. Do you know what I mean? I haven't read everything that he he's posted on the web about it, but I do go in there, you know, every week or every other week, and I look through the art and stuff.
Okay.
So I'm even doing that now with his new one. So I'm pretty familiar with it, but I haven't read it like a complete sitting, you know?
Yeah, you haven't.
I haven't absorbed it as a complete story.
It's amazing. And I'm definitely going to read it again, too. It warrants multiple reads. That's how good it is.
Yeah. Did you see your page in there? And you say, I own that page.
That's right. That's my page.
Page. Hey, nobody else has this page. I'm the only one with this page.
That's a good page, too. I like my page.
Isn't that with the tank guy in it?
Yeah, Two Tank Omen,
yeah.
I don't remember which I'm flipping through it now.
Which is visually kind of the best character, I think, in that.
Oh, he's an awesome character. Yeah. They're all awesome.
He's visually a pretty stunning Kirby-esque representation in that story.
Yeah, it was a giant Sphinx-looking dude with tanks for feet. It's epic.
Yeah. I'm probably going to read that now that I have two episodes of DC Noise in the can, and I can go on my my indie kick now.
Yeah, catch up on stuff.
It's kind of cool being caught up on stuff, though. And on the DC side, I'm really caught up. On the Marvel side, I'm somewhat caught up. On the indie side, I've really fallen behind, and there's a lot of good stuff out there. So.
I read Kevin Keller number one.
Oh.
And I liked it, but I don't remember what it was about. Let me flip through it real quick. Oh, yeah. It's when Kevin Keller first moves to town, and he tells a story of... What was it? Oh, his first date. That's what it was. And it was good. I like the Kevin Keller storyline.
I like Archie in general. So, it just... I recently dropped Archie, except for the Kiss... The Kiss team up thing, because I'm interested.
Oh, you got that?
But I think the realism part of it took me out of the Archie for a while. In other words, the life of
Archie.
Yeah,
I still want to read that someday.
Well, I have that, and it's kind of depressing. So it's. But that's the difference between like Little Depressed Boy is something I haven't read before, right? But you grow up with Archie and you expect something out of Archie, and then you're kind of taking Archie and then making it something that's different.
Mm-hmm. But they do it as a separate
magazine, yeah.
Universe than the
it's not even in the comic
Archie line.
It's a magazine format.
Yeah, true. It's completely different.
I read a Red Hulk. It was like Hulk of Arabia trade, because on Free Comic Book Day. On Free Comic Book Day, I like to support the shop in the fact that if I go in there for some free comics, I'll walk out.
Buy something. Yeah. I'm the same way.
I bought a Hulk trade that was on 50% off. It was... by Jeff Parker, and I think I've come to the conclusion, although a lot of people love Jeff Parker,
mm-hmm.
I don't like him. Like, I don't like his writing. It's not like I have something against Jeff
Parker. That guy's a dick.
I don't like that asshole. I just don't like the style of writing for me. Well, he has some cool stuff in there. It's just the flow of...
No, that's understandable. There's some writers, yeah, that I'm just...
Something about them just doesn't work for me in my brain, the way my brain likes to read, where I get sucked in a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of writers who I'm the same way with, who I won't mention. like, mentioned them before. You know who I shouldn't say. I don't want to talk bad about these writers because they're good writers.
They have their fans. Like, yeah. Jeff Parker, people loved his Agents of Atlas. You know, it's highly like a cult classic, right?
Yeah.
And then there's his run in Thunderbolts, which people spoke highly of. But I've dipped my toe into Agents of Atlas. I've dipped my toe into Thunderbolts, and now I've finally dipped my toe into his Red Hulk. And of what I've read, it just doesn't click with me. It's not bad. Like, I can't say that the book is unrecommended. Do you know what I mean? I'll just say that it's not to my liking. It's
right.
Execution is good.
That's gonna happen. I mean, there's enough comics out there. I mean, if something's just not working for you, then you got to move on because there's so much other stuff out there. So
yeah.
It's understandable. Yeah, I'm the same way. I guess I'll say, I already mentioned that I'm not a big fan of iZombie, and it's the writing that I'm not that into. So Chris Roberson for me is one of those writers.
He's borderline for me.
Yeah.
But I can see where...
Because this stuff, it's not bad. It's just, I don't know, it seems to be...
Dry.
Yeah, it just doesn't do it for me. Because it was that way, like, he did that Cinderella, I think, trade.
Yeah.
Storyline, which was good, but I don't know, there was just something about it.
But some people love it.
Oh, a ton of people love it. And iZombie, I think, is popular, very popular as well, so.
Yeah.
That happens. Or he just sucks as a human being. Like, you
this think is the,
Jeff
the,
Parker is a horrible, horrible human being.
Yeah, this is the hate part of the episode of Geek Run. Right. Fuck Cartoon Network for changing the young title.
Well, you
don't change it in mid-season. It's like if I'm recording CSI and then they change it to CSI Miami and in the middle of the season. You assholes.
Stations do that. They hate us DVR people.
Yeah. Fuck them. Even
the commercials, they hate us. So they do unnecessary changes just to screw us.
I'm okay with them changing a name if they wait till next season. I mean, one week I'm watching it and it's Young Justice. The next week come in, the next fucking week, and they changed it to Young Justice Invasion. Assholes. And I usually don't watch things immediately. It usually takes me a week or two to take them off.
Right.
But I watch them. Do you know what I mean?
And they screwed you.
They did.
Yeah, I've gotten screwed like that before, too. And I don't really pay attention, so I get screwed in between seasons, too, if they change it. Like, hey, what happened to that one show? Isn't it on anymore? Oh, shit, they changed the name.
Everybody else is talking about it.
Change networks. Sometimes that happens, too. Oh, they changed networks. I know. How's everyone still seeing the show? I'm not recording it anymore. What were you talking about?
I have no idea. Oh, the Red Hulk?
Oh, yeah, Red Hulk.
And you just finished Kevin Keller?
I think that's all I have for comics.
Well, let's talk TV and movies then. Well, we already talked Avengers.
Yeah, I saw the Avengers. What else did I see?
I saw Three Stooges.
The new one?
Yeah. What it was okay. They were good for... I don't know. Stooges humor to me, when I was a kid, was amazing. Okay? Mm-hmm. Because it's all slapstick. It's all them hitting each other and all that stuff.
Right.
But it works really well for the Stooges in 20-minute episodes, or you know how they have those small episodes, but not so much in an hour and a half. It like gets old after a while.
The original Stooges had movies, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. But I'm talking about when I watched it was a lot of the...
Right, you just watched it when they showed the...
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're talking about.
But like,
the show that one was on.
With the Stooges now, like, I like them, but I won't go back and rewatch them. Whereas, like, if it's Laurel and Hardy or the Marx Brothers, like, especially with the Marx Brothers, I find their movies that I'll be drawn back into. Like, I still think it's funny. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there, I guess the slapstick kind of, it was well done. It was interesting.
That kind of was a blip on the screen. I don't think it was in theaters for very long, was it?
I think it did pretty decent the first week, and then I watched it in its third week, so it's okay. Probably not on anymore. It probably lasted 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And the only reason I see stuff like that is because my father-in-law was in town, and usually what happens during the birthday things is Barb's mom will take her on a shopping thing, and they'll spend all day shopping, and they're like, they suggest to us, which I'm perfectly okay with because I'm not a fan of shopping, is they'll say, why don't you guys go see a movie? And we're like, yeah. But there's rules to movies. There's Barb, don't watch anything I want to watch, right?
Yeah.
that takes away, you know, 80%
all
of
the good movies.
Right? Yeah. Then I have the 20% to choose from, and we saw that. The thing that we did see that what I thought was really well done and people gave a lot of shit to, but it made a lot of money at the box office, was 21 Jump Street. That was funny. I mean, that...
Who was in that? I think I want to see that one.
Jonah Hill and...
yeah. You like that?
It was great.
You have to see that one.
It was great because the humor was – it took like a serious 21 Jump Street plot but added a little humor to it. Like, why are these old dudes going to school? But I enjoyed
it. Right, right. I like Jonah Hill, so.
Yeah, he was good. And so was – God, I can't think of his name. He's in The Vow.
Yeah, Tatum.
Tatum, yeah. Tatum Channing, is that right?
Something like that.
Or Channing Tatum. I don't know. That's a weird name anyway. But that was – he did a really good job too. And believe it or not, there's a reason that made a lot of money at the box office, and it's because it's funny. I mean, it really is funny. And Ice Cube is hilarious in there as like the chief police officer.
Okay.
He's great.
Did your father-in-law enjoy it?
Yeah, we had a good time at both movies. I mean, it's always, to me, going to the movies with them is always good because I don't like shopping. I really don't.
Oh, me neither. That's the worst thing.
To me, when I go shopping, I know what I'm going in for, and I get out as quickly as I can. Unless it's comics, I'll go in there. And
you'll go for 3 days shopping for comics.
I won't come out. But anything else familiar outside of comics is like kind of painful, actually. Like I want to go in, I want to get what I need, and then get out.
Mm-hmm. It's only logical. But then something good like comics, that's completely different.
Right.
Because there, you're. How can you not be having a good time shopping for comics?
Yeah,
it's impossible. You're surrounded by amazing things.
And I think the Three Stooges movie was done by the two brothers that did like Something About Mary and stuff.
Lars von Trier.
The Farrelly Brothers, or
yeah,
the
Farrelly Brothers. I'd go see a Three Stooges by Lars von Trier.
Oh God, oh my! I would too, actually. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what
the hell he's gonna do.
How's he gonna make these guys pretentious?
Well, I saw a few movies. What did I see?
Oh, I have a recommendation: what not to watch.
What's that?
Don't watch Keith's suggestion of Cave of Forgotten Dreams. Good Lord.
I want to see that one.
That was the worst shit I've ever seen in my life, dude. And I watched the whole damn thing. It was an awful documentary.
I want to see that. That's what Herzog.
Yeah, you should watch that and then tell me what you
see
think.
See if I change my mind.
It's like watching the paint dry, man. I swear.
It's about paint.
Here is a rock, and they paint on the rock. And then you look at it for 5 minutes, and then here is a rock. He painted on the rock. Look, he had a crooked finger. I'm like, Jesus, this is awful. And then 5 minutes later, here is a rock.
I want to see it because that cave itself is like beyond amazing.
Well, the cave, there was. I'll say there's three aspects to the movie I found interesting. I found interesting that the cave itself is very elaborate. I was more interested in the cave than what the documentary was trying to show. Yeah. In other words, caves to me are fascinating. But when they went into the artwork in the cave, which is the bulk of the documentary, I couldn't stand. But when they were talking about shooting lasers in the cave and discovering all the passages and stuff and how elaborate this cave is.
Yeah.
That was fascinating. Yeah. Another thing that fascinated me about is one of the lead archaeologists that was there was a circus performer before he decided to become an archaeologist. He was on a unicycle and breathing fire and shit, and then he said, I'm going to be an archaeologist. I'm like, I found that fascinating. And the third part that I liked was the fact that how close it was to a nuclear power plant, and there's like albino alligators around. So,
three good points.
Those were the three good points. But
so you don't find it amazing that there's those cave paintings that have been around for?
I found it was amazing. In 5 minutes, like I was sucked in, right? But when they keep showing the same thing over and over.
That's what I was wondering. I mean, I knew when they were first filming this documentary, but it's like, okay, I understand you're going to go in this cave and show these paintings, but then how do you frame a movie around that? Like, make it enough meat to it to make it interesting.
And it's just the people that they interviewed were kind of dry, except for the circus guy, but he didn't
do any circus acts.
He didn't do any circus acts, and he was very little in it. Do you know what I mean? He had like 5 minutes in the whole movie.
Yeah.
And then the main two people were really boring. I mean, they were really boring. They're like going to, you know, a college professor. I don't know if you've ever had a college professor that you found was real monotone. And because I've had some professors that are amazing. They suck you into their class and you like want to learn. And then you have a class where the professor is maybe a research professor, and he doesn't give a fuck about teaching.
You want to die?
And yeah. He's just there going through the motion, right? He's not enthusiastic about teaching because his real aspiration is to do research.
Yeah, he's just there to do research.
Right, and he doesn't care about
published.
The teaching aspect of it.
Right.
And which comes across as real boring, and these people just came across to me, well, and to Daryl, but we're a different mindset than Keith is, obviously, because Keith loved it. We hated it. That was boring.
Now, did Keith like the documentary itself, or like for the what he was learning from it, like from that aspect?
I don't,
not like an entertainment aspect.
I think he liked it from what he was learning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you and Daryl don't like to learn, so.
Oh no, we do like to learn. What do you mean? My documentary, I learned a lot, and it was very entertaining, and everybody picked it as their favorite.
What was yours?
Machete Maidens Unleashed. It's about the exploitation films filmed in the Philippines.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a documentary?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, it's a documentary. It was fascinating.
It was a documentary. What was it called?
Machete Maidens Unleashed. And everybody liked it. Everybody liked it. So, oh, and Keith's other documentary I found to be the best, one that I had watched in a long time, was I Like Killing Flies.
I've heard of that, but I've never seen it.
That one sucked me in. I always watch like the Food Network and stuff, so this guy was kind of like the Seinfeld soup Nazi. His restaurant's really small. He's an asshole. I mean, he really is an asshole. He's like, if you come in and say, oh, we have a party of six, we'd like to have a table, he says, fuck you, get out of here. I only have parties of four. And then so people want to try the restaurant, so they come in as a party of four and two, and he knows there were a party of six, and he'll say, fuck, get the fuck out of my restaurant. I know you're
really
a party of four.
Wow.
And he's an asshole to the customers. He's like throwing F-bombs in there and all that stuff. But it is fascinating because he's got like such a weird menu. And he was in very small square footage to cook. That's what I found fascinating. And he makes very unusual things because he experiments. He's like, yeah, sometimes the dishes come out really, really good, but when you make a disaster like this pork ice cream or whatever he was making, he's like, it's like trying to stick your dick in the wrong hole. <He's> like, so, yeah, that was an awesome documentary. So, yeah, we've been watching a lot of
documentaries
lately.
Yeah, I like documentaries.
It's a good thing to watch on Netflix because there's a lot of them. So,
yeah, that is one nice thing too, that you can get to a lot of them. Those are ones that are typically available for streaming. Okay, what did I watch? I'm trying to go back to my list. I watched Young Adult. You ever see that?
No.
That's the Diablo Cody, Jason Reitman movie starring what's her name? Charlize Theron.
Oh yeah, it's in our queue. Barb added it, and I was like, "What the fuck is that?"
It's good. I mean, it's what you'd expect, I guess, from a Diablo Cody Jason Reitman movie. It's about this woman who's a author of young adult books, and she gets it in her mind that she wants to get back together with her high school sweetheart. So she goes back to her old hometown and tries to rekindle that flame. And she's basically a mess. It's basically a movie about this woman who's a mess. And she's not very... She only cares about herself and she's not very nice and she thinks she's better than everyone. She made it... She grew up in this small town in Minnesota and moved to Minneapolis. And now she goes back to this small town and she feels she's above them because now she's made it in the world. Although she didn't really make it that high, but I guess she's made it higher than they have. So it's about a messed up woman, essentially. But it's good.
Well, I like Charlize Theron, so I'd watch it.
Yeah, she's pretty fearless actress.
Yeah, we currently have Hostel 3, and then when we send that back, then me and Barb alternate. We only have one DVD plus the streaming.
Right.
So
alternate.
Yeah, so Barb's got Young Adult next, and then I have some other horror movie. And then we have some other movie that people like, and then there's some other crazy horror movie.
I also watched Ink.
Is that a documentary?
No, it's like an independent film. It was recommended by Keith Cunningham.
Oh, I try to stay away from his recommendations.
Yeah, you're probably wise. I didn't really
because care. He's a film student, right? Yeah. Him and Christian.
Yeah.
And they tend to look for things that I don't really give a shit about, right? Because me as a film goer, I'm a little different. I go for something that makes me think and something that entertains, right? Where I can escape.
Mm-hmm.
And their choices seem to be more on the artsy-fartsy stuff.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't like this. It's pretty artsy-fartsy.
Yeah, I'll stay away from that one.
It's about this. So it starts out. Let me think how it starts out. There's this little girl and these creatures appear in her room. Not really creatures. So the whole premise is that there's these people who give you dreams, and then these people who give you nightmares. They like come into your house, and when they touch you, you either get dreams. There's the ones that give you dreams and the ones that give you nightmares. And then this little girl is captured by this weird looking dude and taken to another dimension. And then it's all about her. So this weird guy is taking her to the Nightmare Maker guys. I can't remember what they're called.
Butcher Baker, because, Nightmare Maker.
Because he wants to become a Nightmare Maker. He wants to become part of their race or whatever. So and in order to do that, he needs to bring this girl and sacrifice her or whatever to them. And then, let me think. So he's going along, and then the dream makers, I think they're called storytellers, are trying to save this girl. And then in the real world, the girl's in a coma and her father's trying to save her, or trying to, I can't remember what he's trying to do. He's trying to get to the hospital to be with her. And then, so that part's not too bad. But then when you get to the end, it like gets all messed up and the logic kind of falls apart a little
bit. Yeah. That's where Keith got the Cave of Forgotten Dreams from. From Keith Cunningham.
Well, maybe Keith would probably... Both Keiths would probably like this movie. But maybe it's a Keith thing. So the one thing I'll say, I mean, I didn't really care for it. I thought the logic... I thought the logic was a little weak, and it kind of got a little too religious for my liking. Which is any amount of religious is too much for my liking. So I didn't like that part. And then, but I will say that it was an independent film and they basically funded it and filmed it all themselves. And it looked pretty good. I think they did a decent job of putting it together. It looked pretty professional. So they did do a good job of making it. So their dedication was good, but I think the story just wasn't that great. So Keith recommends it. I don't. So take that as you will. I also saw Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, the American version.
Ah.
Finally saw that. I still prefer the original version.
Really?
Yeah. They were like almost identical.
I tried to do the opposite. I watched the American version and tried to watch the
foreign version.
The foreign version. I guess I just got subtitled out of it.
Yeah, I don't mind subtitles, so.
I don't either, but if it's something I've already seen, I'm like, why am I reading this?
Yeah, why are you?
It's almost like my mentality of, which is a bad mentality to have, I guess, is I've watched it. Why would I want to read the thing? Why would I want to read the book?
That's right. Why should I read the book? I already saw the movie.
I'm good.
Yeah, they're similar. I think the ending they changed because, I mean, it's been a couple of years since I saw the original version, but the new one seemed to have a little bit of a different ending to it. But I thought that, I mean, it wasn't bad. They did a great job. It was. I liked it a lot. And I thought Rooney Mara did a really good job. But it was funny. I watched it like in two nights because it's pretty long, probably 2.5 hours or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I watched half of it, and then the next day I looked up Rooney Mara because I couldn't remember what she had been in before.
Was she the one that played the girl?
Yeah, she was the girl.
She was amazing. Because to me, like, I didn't know what to expect. I heard you talk about Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but to me, she almost came across like a superhero vigilante. That's
yeah.
So I really got sucked into her world because she had her mannerisms that were very bizarre. Like, she was very antisocial, very sexual.
Yeah, she's messed up.
well, it actually made it made it kind of weird because it had two attributes that usually conflict with one another. Do you know what I mean? At least to me, they do. To be socially sexual, but be antisocial. At least that's what she seemed like to me.
But I mean, I think even her sexual experiences are just for the sex. I don't think she really connects with the people she's having sex with. You know what I mean?
Well, she did to the main character, right?
Right, but that was an exceptional thing for her, it seemed. Like, that wasn't the normal thing that usually happens to her. I think in the past, all of her relationships have just been purely sexual, and she doesn't get into relationships with people. I think she sticks to herself. And the next couple of movies kind of explain more about her past and how she got to this point, too. So,
you know, they're adapting that to a comic book, right?
Yeah, I actually got the preview issue.
Yeah, so did I. It was free. There's no reason not to.
That's probably why I got it.
Yeah.
And what else was I going to say about this? Oh, yeah. So I looked up Rooney Mara, and I found out she was the girl at the beginning of Social Network, which I don't know if you ever saw that.
No, but I have it on my DVR, which we're going to have to make a decision here soon to... We got to start watching everything on the DVRs because we're getting a new flat screen, so... Which I'm going to love because... It's going to open up instant streaming for me personally, to things I could share with Barb. Because right now I watch instant streaming on my iPad or on my computer.
Yeah.
And we don't usually watch things together. So I really wanted her to watch I Like Killing Flies because I think she would have loved it. Because, you know, the cooking aspect as well as the soup Nazi aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Now you'll be able to stream
it. Now we'll be able to stream it and watch it together. And it adds a whole dimension to, like, I don't feel like watching it on my iPad kind of thing.
Switch
on the TV. But our DVR, we're going to have to upgrade our DVR to HD, too.
Oh, okay. You don't have the... So you don't have any HD TV yet?
No.
Come on, Mr. Technology.
I have a TV that was built into the wall. Like, it came with the house.
Yeah.
So
the TV did?
Yeah. So.
So you don't even have a widescreen.
I have to make a decision to either fill in the hole or have somebody build out a ledge so I could fit the TV on.
Right.
And my dad recently built the wood piece that sits on top. And now I can fit a flat screen on there to cover the hole.
Okay. So it'll just be in front of, cover the in front of the hole.
Yeah.
Cool. Man, you should have done that like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
How do you do it?
I think the only thing that was keeping me is I read more than I watch.
Yeah.
I read a lot.
So it wasn't a high priority. You watch a lot of shows, though.
I do. I watch almost as much as you and Micah. Probably more, actually, now that I'm onto this instant streaming thing.
So now you get to try this newfangled thing called HD.
Yeah. I don't know how to deal with it. It's like me with the phone.
I still haven't upgraded my phone.
I like it, but I don't need it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm sure it'd be the same way. It's like, it'd be cool to have one.
It's convenient. I like the fact that I have a GPS on there. I like the fact that the Siri's on there and I could ask her questions and she finds the web page for me or something.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that I can have her text for me just by verbally talking to it and it'll turn it to text and then send it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm not the fastest texter.
Right.
And, but as much text as I do get and much as, I do like the music on there because I could stream Pandora on there or whatever.
Yeah, that's nice.
And that is nice because I like Pandora in the fact that I know you were talking about the other Spotify in the last episode, mm-hmm. but I like Pandora because I could tell it, oh, I like Alkaline Trio, you know, the band or whatever. And then it'll play Alkaline Trio like as the main thing, but it'll...
And similar stuff.
It plays similar stuff, and then I find all these new bands. I'm like, shit, because they're usually damn close. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you like this, you're going to like this, and that's...
Yeah, that is a nice feature of Pandora. Although, I mean, in Spotify, it'll list, like, related artists that are similar.
Yeah.
But it's not that it'll automatically play them like Pandora will.
Yeah.
But you can always click on them and see what they sound like.
So I like my phone, but it's not like I can't... Whereas the DVR technology I've always loved, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine watching TV real-time anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't live without my...
I don't want to watch TV real-time on it anymore.
I hate watching TV live.
I want to watch it when I want to watch it, right?
I know. Then you'd have to pay attention to, like, what time it is or what time stuff starts.
Right.
What a pain.
It's like being forced to read a comic that you're not in the mood of.
Right, at a certain time.
Because that could destroy your reading experience. That's one thing I like about how many comics I buy, because I can choose exactly what I want to read. Right, if I don't want to read superheroes, then fuck it. I got 700 other books I could read. And that's what I like, is it's like on demand, almost. Like, I can read whatever I want.
And you can time shift it?
Yeah.
Your comics?
I can.
Time shift them and let them pile up and then read the whole series in one shot?
That's right. And that's that really is heaven. It is absolute heaven when you get sucked into a story, because then you're not waiting the next month or waiting for the next trade. Do you know what I mean? You're off in your own little world and you're saying, okay, when's the next one? Oh, this is great. Where's the next one? So, yeah, instant streaming is
pretty cool. Method to your madness.
Yeah, I've been watching Grindhouse movies lately on there, too, because they have a lot of 70s sexploitation films. I watched The Big Birdcage, and that was really good.
I heard you guys talking about that one.
Yeah, that was... everybody liked that one, too. It had Pam Grier, it had Sid Haig, it had a crazy-ass plot. It was very entertaining for, like, a Grindhouse movie. If you like Grindhouse-type, like, if you even like Tarantino-type films, you might find that entertaining. The nudity is awesome, too, because it's all before they started making women more beautiful than they... If there's a blemish, it's all natural.
Yes, real women.
There's real boobs. You know, you're not dealing with fake boobs. It's all real. It's all natural. Fascinating.
It's almost like a documentary.
Yes, it's almost like one. And if you watch the Machete Maidens, they talk about Big Birdcage in there.
All right.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Because they made a lot of money, Bill. I didn't realize how much money they made, but they went to the Philippines because it was so damn cheap to film. It's like it cost them almost nothing. And they'd get actors that nobody even had a clue of who they were. You know what I mean? And they would just put this thing together and then sell them at a drive-in and make millions.
Really?
And that's how Roger Corman... started making a lot of money. It was a big business until Star Wars came out, and it kind of destroyed their paradigm. And they even mentioned how it did it, but
really interesting.
They were making a lot of money off of sex and violence. It's a pretty good documentary. I recommend it.
Yeah, I'll check that one out.
What else you watched?
I watched for movies. TV, let me think.
Did you happen to watch The Office?
Yeah, I watched The Office.
Did you see the episode where Dwight was bidding on the stuff and it was really donation-based? Yeah. That was fucking funny.
Yeah. He's calling everyone stupid.
Yeah.
$50? No way. That's $500.
He was calling, like, travel agencies and all kinds of shit to find how much stuff costed, when in reality you're supposed to bid less and make the donation so you can get something.
And yeah, he didn't understand what an auction was. Or he thought it was a guess the price and win.
Yeah, guess the price and win when it was an auction. So he ended up donating $30,000. And the one thing I do love about The Office is the relationship between Jim and Dwight. Because Jim loves to fuck with him. I mean, he likes to, like, turn around something that's a pet peeve of his and then just mess with him. Mm-hmm.
That's because he hates him. That's the only way he can keep his sanity.
I think it's hilarious.
What do you think of this season?
I think it has its moments. But I've never been a fan of Andy so much. To me, the show centers around Dwight and Jim.
Yeah.
And if it's not focused on those, well, I kind of like the side characters too, like, what is the QA guy, the crazy guy? He always cracks me up. That guy's insane.
Which guy?
The gray-haired guy. He's the quality assurance.
Oh, Creed?
Creed, yeah. That guy is just he's almost like a horror film.
Yeah, every time he says something, it's going to be
it's creepy as hell. And who else cracks me up on that show? Ryan's sometimes funny.
Yeah, I've been liking this season. I think this is the most twisted season they've had.
Yeah, it's been pretty funny.
Did you see the one where they went to Robert California's house and they had like the party and the pool party?
Yeah. Robert California, I can't believe that he just got the job and he's insane. Like, he's fucking insane. Just like that redheaded British girl.
Yeah.
That took over the job. She's insane too.
Yeah, I like her too. She had a show, like a sketch comedy show in England. I can't remember her name offhand.
Yeah, she was a good addition.
Yeah, I'm digging this season just because it's so weird.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people aren't because the ratings are dropping.
Yeah, I know people don't like it as much.
But I think it's just as good. Do you know what I mean?
I like it. It's twisted now.
It's twisted and funny, whereas I did love Michael Scott, but he had a depressing pieces to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you could watch The Office and you almost felt bad that you were laughing, right? Because it had a serious connotation to it.
I don't know what else I'm watching besides that.
Modern Family was interesting.
Yeah, I'm watching that.
Did you watch the one with the Disneyland episode?
Yeah. That was okay.
There was a couple things I really liked about that. Well, for one thing, my family's currently at Disneyland. So it's like they're sending me pictures of shit that was on the show. But the other thing I liked is, like, the father, how he... They couldn't keep the little girl. They wanted to keep her on a leash because she'd just, like, run away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that he used his, I'm going to get her high heels, and then she can't.
She can't run around. She can't run off in high heels.
And it was the opposite with his wife, because she wanted to wear the high heels, but it was killing her feet. So he got her slippers. And she loved him for it because her feet were hurting. So I thought that aspect was pretty cool.
Yeah, that show's been good this season.
And the return of that crazy boyfriend I thought was hilarious. Because he was part of the Dapper Man.
The Dapper Man. I don't know what else I've... I was going to start watching Alcatraz, but now it's been canceled, so... I don't know if I'm gonna. I might just delete it. I don't know if they. I gotta find out if they actually finished the storyline or if they just left it hanging. Because if they just left it hanging, then there's not much point in me watching it.
Yeah, they canceled quite a few shows, didn't they?
They canceled a shitload of shows. It's crazy. Every network, I think, sliced like half their stuff off, it seems.
I was watching The River. I think that was the only one. But I liked it, but I didn't have to watch it. It wasn't like...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. It was more of a show like, oh, there's nothing else on. I think I'll catch up on The River.
Yeah. Yeah, I got some shows like that where it's just... I'll watch them. Alphas, but I don't have to watch
Alphas
them.
Alphas is like that, too. It's like we still have it on there.
I liked Alphas.
And we'll watch it like...
Every once in a while?
Yeah, like an episode here and an episode there. And while I like it, I don't find the big picture story interesting. In other words, it seems more like... Whereas Heroes, for me, was one big story that linked.
Yeah.
Whereas this one seemed like it's an episode-to-episode story.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't care about because I feel like I can watch it whenever because it's a done in one. Kind of like a CSI show or something, you know?
I think that's the model they're doing. Where there is a bigger storyline, but it's not the focus of every episode.
But I like the episodic. I mean, I like the element that Yes, you'll learn more about the characters as each goes on, but they're pretty much standalone, right? You watch an episode, you're done. You watch an episode, you're done.
I like
Spartacus and Friday Night Lights where it like ends and then you have to know what happens.
It's just an ongoing story. Yeah. Like Lost book. Or something.
The comic book.
Like a comic book. Well, so you prefer like an ongoing tale to like a Jonah Hex where it's like...
Yeah. Much so.
Single issues. Not that Jonah Hex and single issues are bad, because those are entertaining stories.
But now Jonah Hex is more like episode. It's more like, you know, an ongoing story, yeah.
They haven't solicited that trade yet. I'm waiting for that one. Bastards.
OMAC is solicited, man.
Yep. It's on my potential list.
I ordered two. I'm obsessed, man. I'm sorry.
I hear good things about it, and then I hear bad things about it. I hear good things from you, and I hear bad things from Daryl.
Well, if you like Tom Scioli's art, and you like Jack Kirby art, you'll like this book because Giffen is channeling Kirby. DiDio is also channeling a world in which Jack Kirby was writing in the 70s. So if you liked OMAC or you like Commandy or New Gods, you know, like when he was doing the writing instead of Stan Lee doing the writing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you like that, then you will love OMAC. If you don't like that, then you probably won't like OMAC. See, I always thought of Kirby as a visionary. To me, he is the king of comics. I mean,
yep, that's what they call him. I haven't read Young Gods, but I have a Young Gods trade. I'll have to read that. Maybe I should read that first and then...
New Gods? You mean?
Yeah. You know what I said?
You said Young Gods.
Oh, Young Gods. What's Young Gods?
I don't know. You just made it.
I'm going to write that down. That's my next book coming out, Young Gods. Copyright. Young Gods sounds familiar. I think there is a Young Gods.
There's a Young Justice, and there's a Young Allies, and there's a Young All-Stars. I don't think I've heard of the Young Gods.
The band called the Young Gods.
Ah, I haven't heard of them either.
Looks like they're European Gothic. Okay, yeah, that's my next book that's coming out, Young Gods. The Young Gods.
Sounds like good. A Grant Morrison thing.
I'm writing it down. I started writing it already, so now it's mine. Young Gods.
copyright Bill Bomer.
That's right. Act 1.
2012.
Page 1. Enter Lucithus.
Lucithus. He's young. He has long flowing hair.
Long flowing blonde hair. He's
shirtless.
8 years old.
He's naked. He's a god. He doesn't give a shit about
clothes. Try he pissing in the
fountain.
Fountain. Flows in the breeze. Beautiful. Stands shirtless. Oh, stands naked? I think he has a robe, but it's just robe open robe.
He's got
peeing in the fountain.
There you go.
Well, his mother
gods
sits at her dinner party in a lawn chair.
Eating a roasted pig.
Drinking wine and berries.
Yeah.
Champagne with berries in it. That's good.
Has a bunch of slave women walking around.
Yes, many slave women.
And they're naked.
Many naked slave women.
And cages.
No cages. That's sick. Mother drinks champagne.
She's drinking human blood.
Berries in human blood. And eating young suckling pig. Beautiful.
There you go. Open
sentence. Young gods.
Just need to get an artist on this thing.
Well, once this episode comes out, probably people will be emailing me at Bill at Comic Book Noise.
Yeah.
Wanting to draw it.
Kickstarter, baby. We're gonna start that sucker. If you want this Kickstarter to happen, young gods, your $20 donation will get you another page. And you'll have the original script.
Yep. Page 2. I can't start writing page 2 until I get some money.
Yeah, that's right. You will get page 2.
Find out what happened to Lucithus.
Before the book is even finished, you will have page 2. For a $10 donation.
Man, this is great. Young gods.
Soon to be a major motion picture.
Volume 1, Birth of a...
By the guy who did Antichrist.
You'd probably do it. Sounds pretty pretentious. But it's full pretentious. Oh yeah, young guys. Save. All right, saved it. It's official now. My next project.
I hope there's not that's not on your work computer, because... There's a lot of nakedness in
naked young boys. What's this, Bill?
And then you have a bunch of slave women, too. You wrote naked.
Yeah, naked slave women.
I guess you could say, well, they're all young gods, so they're naked. Why do they have need for clothes?
That's right, they're above clothes. Clothes are for puny mortals. Gods have no need for clothes. But then you will not be able to see my godly body. The perfection of my body.
So you want to wrap this baby up? Or do you have any food you want to talk about?
Food. Hey, I was going to ask you, what did you say your favorite gelato was?
Stracciatella.
Which one's that?
It looks like vanilla with chocolate slivers in it.
Oh, yeah. That's what Melanie got last time.
Yeah.
I thought you liked fruit ones.
Oh, I do like the fruit. I like the blueberry and the pear.
I did have pear. I thought you said you liked pear. I tried the pear. It was good. I like the hazelnut better, though.
Hazelnut's like a coffee to me, and I hate coffee.
I don't drink hazelnut coffee, so.
I really don't like coffee. Like, Barb's on a coffee. Just, I guess for over a year now, she's been on the daily coffee thing, and I, like, hate the smell of coffee. Mm. And, oof.
You hate the smell of coffee?
I hate the smell of coffee.
Even people who don't like coffee still like the smell of coffee.
No, I don't. It's stinky.
She drink like the flavored coffee, like the hazelnut flavored
coffee? No, she drinks typically the Dunkin' Donuts. You know how you can buy the Dunkin' Donuts brand coffee?
Yeah.
That's what she drinks most of the time.
That's the coffee that tastes like donuts?
I don't know. I wouldn't put it in my mouth. I don't understand the appeal. But I'm also one that doesn't drink a lot of alcohol either. Because I'm not...
Like bitter stuff?
Yeah, like beer. Bitter beer. I don't like it. It has to be smooth that I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's crazy talk. So I did have some peach gelato. It was good, peachy. I think my goal is going to be to try like all the flavors of gelato they have.
Yeah, I'm disappointed because the gelato place we had closed, and it was good gelato. Like, it was a big difference from like other places where I could get gelato. He like made it fresh and.
Yeah, I like our gelato place.
The day of, you know, so like if you were getting a pear, it was.
Yeah,
you were getting fresh that day. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure the place that we get ours from, I'm sure they make it fresh every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and every time you go in, they have different flavors, so they rotate.
Yeah, that's what this place was. Like, you couldn't always go in and get pear, right? I mean, it was a seasonal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Stracciatella, it would always be there.
Yeah, that's
but,
probably one of the...
You know, like some of your core flavors, but some of the fruit stuff, it would be like, I don't know, when the summertime or the wintertime or...
Sounds good. So you got any food?
Nothing out of the norm. I eat at Panera Bread a lot. I don't know if you have that chain over there.
Yeah, we have. I don't really go there very often.
It's kind of a pretentious hipster place where you can hang out, you know? Because they like have people playing chess and stuff, and it's good though. I mean, it. I don't know. Like some sandwich shops, when you get a sandwich, like they're put together so well, like their signature sandwiches, that it's like you get the right ingredients together, and you get a really good sandwich.
I'll have to try them again.
You'd have to get a salad without the chicken.
I'm sure they got some sandwiches I could have.
I'm sure they do.
They usually have some kind of veggie sandwich.
I don't think they have fish sandwich. You'd have to bring in your own canned fish.
They probably have like
a tuna thing.
Yeah, tuna salad or something. Now I'm hungry. But maybe I did go to Panera recently. It was either Panera or the other one, Corner Bakery.
I don't know what that one is.
That's just another chain sandwich place.
Tom Scioli just posted on Facebook. Jack Kirby on Entertainment Tonight, 1982.
Posted a video?
Yeah, I think. I'm going to have to watch that.
Cool. Well, you want to wrap up?
Sure. You can reach us. I want to have a contest.
Oh, yeah, the contest.
All you have to do is email me at my – or you can go to the forums. I'll open up a thread for it. If you're the first person to tell me – let's see. Six people that can shrink in the comics world, it could be indie, it could be DC or Marvel, but we're looking for, I'll even give you the first one, like Ray Palmer, the Atom, right? You will win the trade of Short Stack, Tales of a Superhuman Plumber.
Awesome.
Yes. And you will enjoy it. It's a really good story. The artwork's really unusual. It's like something you've never seen before. But I think after one or two issues, it'll grow on you. In other words, you'll start understanding the art style and understand the sequential aspect of it.
And I think I did by the time I got to the end of the first issue. I was already... I think it's just because the story pulls you in, so...
Right.
You get used to it.
It's kind of shocking at first.
Yeah, if you just picked it up and flipped through it, you'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah. It'll be well worth it. So that's the... What did I say? Six characters that...
Shrinking characters in comics.
All right. And we are located at geekbrunchpodcast.com. We're also located at Forum for Geeks. Scroll down to DC Noise, and there's Geek Brunch. I need to separate the two now that we're situated. What else we got? Bill is DBM00 on Twitter. Micah is do_what. And I'm Mike Myers Brunch. And I've changed my name to Omactivate. I had changed my name to Daryl Taylor there for a while. we have a page, a Facebook page you could go visit, and we post all the episodes there at Geek Brunch Podcast. Just search for that in your Facebook browser, and it'll show up. And you just hit the like button, and then you'll get all those posts. And leave an iTunes review. Please, that's how you let us know you're out there and that you're enjoying the show.
That's how we get into the top 100 podcasts for hobbies.
Top 120. We were there at at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then I checked it again at 8 a.m. and we weren't. So I think we have a popular audience. At late hours or popular. I don't know how their algorithm works.
Yeah, how it updates.
But how it updates, like if it's hourly or whatever. But Geek Brunch does show up there in the top 120, and it's usually at weird hours, like between 10 p.m. and.
Well, they say the best time to listen to Geek Brunch is between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. in the morning. I guess I said a.m., so I don't need to say in the morning.
Yeah, if you have insomnia or something.
That's right. We'll help you go back to sleep.
Help you go back to sleep. So, anything else I miss? Micah should be back next week. Micah, Ultimate Fantastic Four was pretty good. I have to disagree with you, man. He was banging Fantastic Four. No, it was good.
I need to say it didn't live up to the rest of the Ultimate.
I think it did.
Universe.
I'll be honest. I didn't read the entire thing, but I've read like 20 issues, and I enjoyed it. I still have the rest of it. I have to read, but I had really fallen behind in Marvel. But
yeah, I remember you said you were several years behind.
But I've taken action on Marvel. I think I only get like 25 titles, and I'm pretty much caught up on all of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm about a week or two behind, but that's not nearly what I was before.
Yeah.
Now I got to figure out what to do with the indies, because I think I'm getting too many, and I can't keep caught up. But there are some that I just absolutely love, and I read right away, and then there's some that I wait a month or two to read, and I fall a little bit behind on. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to start probably trimming down my indie list. I'm getting way too much Image in IDW. Although they are really good publishers. And Dynamite. I get a lot of Dynamite.
I don't get very many Dynamite.
But I'm sucked into the Warlord of Mars, and that's like four titles, right?
Are they still bringing that out, or is that stopping?
Yeah, it's got four titles out right now. It's got two Deja Thoras, a Warlord of Mars, and another mini. And I'm into the Green Hornet, and Kirby Universe has like four books out, so you know, it's quite a few books.
Yeah, that adds up quick.
Yeah. And Xenoscope, I've kind of went, I think I'm going to go down to the core titles and some of the Raven Gregory single issues that are outside of the Grim Fairy Tales universe.
They got that new series starting up, don't they?
Yeah, that one sounds interesting. It's about a guy that could get all kinds of women. I'm all over that.
I don't know if that's what I'm talking about. I thought there was a new Grim Fairy Tales spinoff.
Oh, the Jungle
Book? Or something.
Well, there's the Jungle Book, and then there's just the Grim Fairy Tales women. Like,
yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Miniseries. I like those a lot, but I think if I could stick to the core and maybe Myths and Legends, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. All right. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day for all you mothers out there.
That's right. We love you, mothers.
Yes.
And remember to pick up Young Gods and check out the Kickstarter.
Yes, Kickstarter. We need an artist, too. If you're interested in drawing a lot of nakedness.
Wait, Young Gods. Is that what I said it was?
Yeah.
Didn't Barry Windsor Smith do Young Gods?
Young Gods. I don't know.
Oh, now I have to change the name of it. Son of a bitch.
Do you mean Will?
I thought there was
a spirit guy. Will Eisner?
No, Barry Windsor Smith.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm gonna have to Google it.
I thought he had something called Young Gods. Yeah, Young Gods and Friends.
Young Gods comics. Wikipedia. It's in the Marvel universe. What the hell? Oh, no, we're going to have to change your name.
I have to change the name now. Younger Gods. Even Younger Gods.
The Young and Restless Gods.
All right, well, listen in next episode when you find out the new name.
If you donate $5, we will add your name to the title.
So you get to pick the title.
You get to pick the title of this comic.
Yeah. So stay tuned next episode to find out what's next in your favorite story of the Young Gods.
Yeah, we should keep it going because
continuing tales of the Young Gods. Yeah, page two.
One page, we can get page two written and
we'll write that next.
Could help with that.
Well, has a good setup. You got naked people.
There's a lot of Young Gods things going on here. I'm seeing all kinds of images for things I've never even seen before.
Yeah, well, it's not. I mean, Young Gods, not that original of a concept. Well, Old Gods. Oh, wait a second. Teenage Gods?
Tank Gods.
Tank Gods? I'll have to think about this for a while.
Battleship Gods.
Are you going to go see Battleship?
Yes, I am.
I'm excited. I know it's going to be stupid, but hopefully entertaining.
Yeah, I think it'll be good, and then... Well, we have to go see it because it's got Tyler. It's got Friday Night Lights, and
it's all Friday Night Lights, guys.
Yeah, Barb loves. It's the creator of Friday Night Lights, and then they have two Landry and Riggins.
Yep. Awesome. Hopefully, there's some other people too and cameos.
Did you ever finish Friday Night Lights?
Yeah.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah, I finished that.
It's good, man.
Great, fantastic.
It never, like, lost steam, even though the character base changed. You know what I mean?
Except for the second season, it got a little weird, but after that, it got back on track.
The second season total, the total one?
Yeah.
Is that when Tyra was in the murder thing, or?
Yeah, that's, yeah, the whole murder thing. But then they got it, then they brought it back to
reality.
Yeah, about the team and stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right.
See you. Bye. Yeah.